Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Episode of Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know, the podcast for musical theatre lovers by musical theatre lovers. We are talking about an excellent show today, but before we get into it, it's me, KB. I'm going to be your host, and joining me on screen today via Zoom is Julie.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Julie. And Miranda.
Hi, I'm here too.
Hi, Miranda. How are you guys going?
I'm real good, thanks. I've got a large gin and tonic. I'm having a jolly night.
Great. Amazing. But we are not the only ones here. We also have Kieran.
Woo!
Back for another go.
Yeah.
Hello. Welcome back, dude.
Thank you so much for having me.
Anytime. We said it last time. We'll say it again.
I'm pretty sure last time Kieran was on, he won the prize for the most prepared guest we've ever had. So I'm really looking forward to the
And today
10 pages
he will reclaim the prize.
That was,
I've taken it down a notch. I'm trying to go for a little bit more easygoing.
Oh, yeah. All right, okay.
It's just a casual seven
laid
pages
back
of
casual Kieran today. It's going to be great, no matter what. Now, this is only your second time on the podcast, so we have to redo the Get to Know You quiz, even though you really only took it a few months ago. But that's just like tradition, so we're going to stick to it.
Tradition.
Okay.
Getting to know you. There you go, I did the song, sorry.
Maybe your answers have changed. You got a little bit of a super brassy getting to know you, and we'll just launch straight into it. Kieran, is it the same musical characters that other people would compare you to?
I did try to come up with other options.
Yay! Again, still most prepared guest we've ever had.
I realize that I genuinely get have people said you remind me of Oaken from Frozen.
Oh yeah,
that's amazing.
I've actually got that a few times. I think it's just that I have a beard and I'm a large man, but it's yeah, I get that quite a bit.
I mean, he's great.
I'm googling it now to see if you do.
Delightful.
In fact,
there's a new there's a new Frozen short about the snowman that features that character, Kieran. So, you know,
yes,
you're going to get that more now.
I'm gonna get that work.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, you just have to, like, shave the middle of your beard out and you're good to go.
It's a strong look. I'll consider it.
Send us pictures when it happens. Is this a character you would like to be compared to?
I'm quite happy to be compared to him. He seems nice and jolly. I'm not always jolly or nice. Yeah, I'll take it. I'm on board with it. I'm still sticking with Shrek from last time as well.
Nice. Good one. It's fair. If they were to put him into Frozen 2 the musical, would he become one of your dream roles?
He has a song in Frozen the musical. I don't think I've actually listened to it. If they promoted him to lead, yeah. I'm taking
sure,
it.
Sure, do it. Are there any more dream roles that have been added to the list?
Last time I said my dream role was either character from the musical we're about to discuss.
Yes.
I'm going to say the boyfriend from A New Brain.
Nice.
I'm going to say the baker in Into the Woods. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say the character's name that I can't remember that Nathan Lane plays in A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum.
Sudalus.
Yeah.
Yay!
Two very confident, one very unconfident answer there.
Keeping it easy going, easy going. Keeping it easy going.
Has your favourite Sondheim show changed in the last few months?
It's always just have like a few juggling at the top. And last time I said Forum, well, I said Into the Woods, but Forum I really love. I also really love A Little Night Music.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's another underrated one, but yeah, more or less the same.
That's fine. What are you singing in the shower these days?
I'm not a big shower singer. I'm normally a dialogue creator. Like, I'll do scripts in the shower.
That's not weird at all for your neighbors.
They do. Their kitchen window does overlook our bathroom window, which is right into the shower. So occasionally they could look out and see me be like, nah, 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 just in the shower by myself.
I'm more concerned about the fact. I'm more concerned about the fact that the podcast that you write for is often like horror stories and people being murdered and things. And I just imagine you doing that in your shower for your neighbors. It could get a little.
That's exactly what I do.
Cool.
I mean, literally all my neighbors would hear as I'm getting ready in the morning is murder podcasts or murder YouTube videos over and over and over and over and over.
So
or just murder.
It's all fine. Just murder.
Murder, murder.
Everyone's fine with it because nobody's had the cops called on them. So just keep doing what you're doing.
But if I'm ever accused, oh boy.
I actually have had the cops called on me. It was a backyard rehearsal situation. And when they turned up, we were in the middle of rehearsal with balloon swords and some very confused police officers going, what's happening? As we're belting out, what were we doing at the time, Karen? Was it a Man from Mulan?
Yeah.
With balloon swords. Yeah. Yeah.
Good. That's like, good times. I think that goes like top musical theatre kid story ever.
we'll keep it down, officer. We shall deflate the weapon.
And we will no longer sing show tunes.
Yeah.
But no promises.
Good times.
All right. You get another chance to just like disappear. I'm not going to say delete a musical. Mm-hmm. Some people have had problems with the word delete. So a musical just disappears. One of your choosing.
Last time I said Mamma Mia. This time I'll say Mamma Mia 2.
Yes! I love it.
I have yet to watch, so I'll take your word for it.
Never to watch.
Never to watch. It no longer exists. I'm going to go into Netflix later and it's just going to have gone. It's what
if you could do that, that would be...
Well, now that we have re-gotten to know you, Karen, let's have a chat about Gutenberg the musical!
Darn Tutenberg!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
First question I have to ask you, Karen, is why Gutenberg? What is it about this show that you love about it?
Why not Gutenberg? Everyone should love Gutenberg. It is the most delightful show. I just love it. Why do I love it? It's incredibly funny. It's incredibly heartfelt. And for me, I don't think I've ever felt so represented in a musical before.
Amazing.
In the character of Gutenberg or?
No, in the characters of Bud and Doug.
All right.
Guys, I have great news.
What?
I loved Gutenberg.
Oh yes. My. This doesn't happen very often,
like,
guys.
I'm slightly obsessed now.
Yes.
You're obsessed.
Like, I've listened to it 3 times in the last 2 days.
Woo! Did you watch it?
I haven't watched it yet.
You should watch it. I think
I'm saving it.
Yeah.
I really want to see it live, though, as well. I know I could probably watch it and still love it, but I want to see it live. Mm. So,
I have not seen it live. I'm desperate to.
I
have. We'll try and make that happen, guys.
Yes.
Miranda has. Did you see it when you were in New York, Miranda?
No, I did not see it when I was in New York, but I did see it in Brisbane.
Oh,
yes.
Very nice.
Yes. Underground, the animators.
A ground did it.
One of the grounds did it. Good to know.
No, they did it at the undercarriage way place. I'm looking at Zane and he's not helping me.
Okay.
No.
We'll figure out what production quickly. You're talking about. While Kieran gives us a 2-minute breakdown of the plot for those of us who haven't possibly seen it. You ready,
Kieran? Okay, I think so.
On your mark. Oh, does anyone have a timer?
I have a timer.
Okay. On your mark. Get set. Go.
Gutenberg, the musical, tells the story of Bud Davenport and Doug Simon telling the story of Johannes Gutenberg, inventor of the printing press. In the show within a show, Bud has written the music, Doug has written the book, and the lyrics, they wrote those together. together. The Prayer bring a lot of enthusiasm to their musical retelling of Gutenberg's life, if only they brought self-awareness or respect for the genre of historical fiction, or, as they call it, fiction that's true. We, the audience, join Bud and Doug at a backers audition as they seek out producers for Gutenberg, the musical! And what better way to get producers on board than for the duo to act out an entire full-cast musical? Characters include a devil-worshipping monk with magical powers seeking to destroy the printing press, an illiterate heroine with beautiful breasts seeking Gutenberg's love, and an anti-Semitic flower girl who, well, if only she was seeking flowers. Bud and Doug bring these in a vast swath of miscellaneous 15th century German villages to life, courtesy of little more than a series of trucker hats. As we stumble through Gutenberg, the musical, Bud and Doug teach us the inner workings of musical theatre, as well as the inner workings of themselves, who they are, what they want, and why they've written this terrible, terrible show. Gutenberg invents the printing press, the evil monk tricks the dumb heroine into destroying it, and for some reason, the entire village rise up to murder Gutenberg in revenge for something. It's a bit of a downer, but don't worry, Bud and Doug have run themselves into their own finale to tack on an uplifting ending. Will they find a Broadway producer for Gutenberg, the musical? You'll have to listen to Gutenberg, the musical.
That was amazing. How much time's left?
26 seconds left. Oh,
look at you go.
Wow.
So good. Well done. Very well done indeed. I think you covered everything.
And managed to pronounce both exclamation marks in the title, which I'm very proud of.
It was so good. I love this. I love a good exclamation mark in a title. We figured that out already. So also, Miranda, I think it was the Theatre Makers production in Anywhere Theatre Festival that you might have seen.
Yes. And they did it at Underground.
Oh, in the cave.
No.
In like the
cavey thing.
No, in the valley.
In the valley.
Oh, yes.
The venue doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
It's
sure.
A sad story. I'm sorry I brought it up. Anyway, back to Gutenberg.
Anyway, can I mention
two characters that I think are very important to the story that Kieran did gloss over?
Oh, no. Sure.
The drunks, who are my favourite characters in the show. They just keep turning up, being drunk and saying, I can't read. And they're the best thing that's ever happened to musical theatre. I'm finished with my rant. Thank you.
A rant over. So this show started at the Upright Citizens Brigade, which, for those of you who don't know, one of the founding members was Amy Poehler. And it was in New York. It ran for a year with Scott Brown and Anthony King. They had developed it. And then it went to the New York Musical Theatre Festival for 2 years in a row.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't know was a thing that could happen. I thought you were kind of like one and done kind of deal. But no.
I think it's because the 2005 was a 45-minute show, and then the 2006, I think, was the full 90-minute, I think.
Well, it did well then, because then it went off-Broadway and then transferred to Broadway with some pretty big deals involved. Like, Alex Timbers directed it, and his credits include Moulin Rouge, Beetlejuice, Rocky, Peter and the Starcatcher, Bloody Andrew Jackson. He also directed the Netflix specials for John Mulaney and Ben Platt, and then co-created Mozart in the Jungle. Like, he's a big deal in terms of directing.
All of those things.
Yes. Yes.
Gutenberg would have been before most of that, though, right?
Pardon?
Gutenberg would have been before most of that.
Before a lot of that, yeah. And then Chris Fitzgerald, who was the OG Igor in Young Frankenstein, and was one of the first Box and Wicked, and Ogie and Waitress when it transferred to Broadway was in it. And Jeremy, I'm going to say this wrong, Jeremy Soz Jez, Shamos, who has been in Birdman and Better Call Saul and Nurse Jackie and The Big Sick and Bad Education. Like, these are some big name people for a show that had very humble beginning.
And you know why? Because it's rad.
Because it's very good. They're the biggest fun facts I found about the show when Googling. It's just how, like, the whole show is a fun fact. Like, there isn't anything specifically
not fun or factual
not
about
fun
it.
About it that you could talk about. It's just I was shocked to see how quickly it kind of moved. So from 2005 straight to Broadway by 2007, that's pretty amazing for a 90-minute show, one act, no intermission. It's at that time pretty fantastic.
Part of that I would put down to one of the original creators. Which one is it? Anthony King, I believe it is. One of them, either Anthony King or Scott Brown, was actually creative director for UCB for a while.
Nice.
And UCB is a big deal for American comedy. comedy.
It's huge.
So I think, so you've got like a big deal as part of a big deal making a new show. I think a lot of people sort of got to see it pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just a delight. I also, in researching it, I was shocked to discover negative reviews of it, however.
Always.
There are.
There's always like, someone.
Holy shit.
But I wasn't sure when I read the reviews. I was like, wait, do you not get it? Or do I not get this review?
Well, do you have any on hand, Julie, that you could give us an example of?
I do. I have one from theatermania.com.
Yes.
This is written by David.
You can't just gloss over the most important part of your own segment. It's bad reviews with Julie.
Including a bad song.
It doesn't, you need to convey how we're going to feel.
Yeah. So this is from theatermania.com. David Finkel saw it in New York City December 3rd, 2006. Boy. And this is one that I was like, what? I don't know if you don't get it, maybe.
He also saw it the day it opened on Off-Broadway, so he hasn't really given it much of a chance.
So there's a lot to be learned at Gutenberg the musical, but those lessons have nothing to do with the German inventor who refined popularized the printing press. What you can discover from this two-act, 90-minute tuner, especially if you're thinking of writing one yourself, is a series of theatre don'ts. Don't think that just because you're being tasteless, you're being funny. Don't think that just that taking an unpromising subject for a musical and then putting the musical in the title is anything less than thoroughly depleted showbiz gag. Do think it's an immediate tip off that the writers present are totally devoid of inspiration. Don't think that self-referential musicals are the least bit original, as 2007 dawns. And for Pete's sake, don't include an Elton John joke in your exposition after the drowsy chaperone has laid that illusion so hilariously to rest. It goes on and on and on and on and on.
Just a list of don'ts? Is that?
There is a massive list of don'ts. I would say half of it is a list of don'ts. More than half.
Don't write a review that isn't a review and just a list of don'ts, maybe.
Yeah, he hated it.
I'm like, buddy, I don't think you get it.
Not alone. I assumed I would find a whole bunch of like enamored reviews. Not the case. So I don't know.
I think there are plenty of people out there, especially probably in the elite theatre world of reviewing, that don't enjoy silly humour. And that's what this is. It's parody-like. It is a sort of parody of a lot of other musicals, and certainly nothing like a true story of Gutenberg, but no one's going to this thinking, it's history on stage. You know, and it is quite silly humour. That's why I love it.
Scott Brown, one of the writers, was for years a professional theatre critic. So part of me thinks that it's him like flipping the bird to theatre critics to make this show. It is anti-pretension.
I think that maybe might be why I like it so much. It's like anti-Rent, you know?
Oh, yes.
That's their byline. Yeah. Anti-Rent.
Anti-Rent. It's like the least pretentious thing ever.
It's very, very good. And the song, the music in it is all basically parody of musical theatre songs that we know and love. And it has all of the I love I Can't Read or Words, Words, Words. They're like two of my favourite songs in this soundtrack.
They're beautiful.
There's like the fun, like, I don't know, heroin ballad that is not what you expect it to be. There's the like mashup of all of the things we've heard before from all the other groups that have come in, very act one finale of Les Mis, but not as dramatic.
I really enjoy the Beauty and the Beast opening, setting up the village, the Beauty and the Beast-esque opening. I'm a big fan of that. And of course, my favourite song, like, Biscuits.
Biscuits.
Yeah.
A charm song.
They do teach you quite a bit about formula of musical theatre in this. Mm-hmm. And 90% of my lessons are either about that or about beef fat trimmers. So, yeah.
In doing this, because I did a very tiny amount of research on the actual person Gutenberg, because I kind of assumed that Schlimmer might have been a real place that he really grew up in, and that's why they created the character of Beef Fat Trimmer, because they wanted something to rhyme with Schlimmer. There is literally nothing other than like printing press German and the name Gutenberg. There is literally nothing historically accurate in this.
You mean he didn't really have a blonde woman who worked for? What did they describe her as? A wench named Helvetica.
A beautiful German wench with beautiful breasts.
Named Helvetica.
Which I do appreciate it being a font and he creating a printing
and
press.
And lost my goddamn mind. I was driving home from work. I was like, what?
It's all very clever. Now, do we have anything else we need to talk about in terms of this musical before we move on to all of the lessons that it taught us?
It is very highly produced. Like, it's gone all over the world. It's been translated into French. It's been translated into Korean. This show gets staged, people across the world.
Well, yeah. It's an easy one to put on. It's a two-pander with a piano and very little props, very little costumes. And it's hilarious.
Yeah.
So it's very clever. Very clever.
Stupidly clever.
Yes. Too Superbly clever stupid. For some, apparently. Oh boy. Play that music, Zane. Well, Gutenberg, the musical, could have taught us many a thing. What are some of those things that has taught us?
Number one, make things with your friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, ain't that just the cutest lesson ever?
That's my lesson from Fellowship as well, because the two, Scott Brown and Anthony King, were friends for years before they made this.
Yeah,
I think you can kind of tell in the writing, the way the writing overlaps and stuff, the dynamic that the two characters have playing all the other characters with each other is very easy to connect with as an audience member.
Yeah.
I think they wrote that pair really well because they wrote them presumably very much as themselves. In some way.
Yeah.
That's good. Off the back of that, and it's a lesson that probably title of show has also taught us, is just write the thing. Just go and write the thing and do it. Mm. You know? Like, even if you think it's hilarious and other people don't, obviously a lot of people didn't think this was hilarious, but they're wrong. just write it, put it out there, see what happens. I very much enjoyed.
I learned that you really don't have to be that serious about your musical for it to be great.
And in fact, not being too serious kind of helps sometimes, especially with writing, I don't know, a comedy, maybe?
Maybe we don't have to think about it that hard.
Maybe. There are a lot of things that they point out very specifically in the script. For instance, about the charm song. They say, this is what we call a charm song. I just love the way that the characters really enjoy teaching you.
Yeah.
And I think there's something about the joy with which they share their art that we can all learn a little something from, that sort of confidence to just go, you know what, this is great and I'm going to take it out there and you're going to love it.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be great. Yeah.
The line at the top of Act 2, now I know what you're thinking, this is the best show I've ever seen.
I was like, you know what? I am thinking, man.
One of my lessons was that blind optimism is its own talent.
Yes. That's a good lesson.
I also learned that if people can't read, some very dire things can happen. Like in the very opening where we meet a man who accidentally gave his baby jelly beans instead of medicine and his baby died. And, you know, that's important. Jelly beans.
It is important.
I like the historical inaccuracies as well.
So fine. It's just a song to set up the scene too. It's not there for any other importance. They make that very clear.
There's a good callback joke later. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's all you need it for.
And the dead baby's fine. It appears in the finale.
And luckily it's just a trucker cap.
And it's not the only dead baby.
Yeah.
I think there is a lesson in it's like extreme minimalism, but to the other extreme than what we usually get. It's like not a lot, but there are many hats on that stage. So even though there isn't much in terms of set and costume, there are like 30 different trucker caps that you do need to purchase and write the names of every character on, which worked really well. And the stacking of hats too, of just that very subtle comedic device, which you're just like, ah, you probably came out of laziness when you're rehearsing, but at the same time, this is hilarious, really does help us.
One of the reviews I read that was really, really critical, but one of its compliments was that I think it was Chris Fitzgerald is very good at arranging hats.
Well, that's a very specific skill that you wouldn't need in a lot of other shows.
No.
It's true.
This one,
because what if you important. Got them in the wrong order?
Or disaster. You just have to go with it.
That was one of the things that I thought about too. I was like, imagine just the hat choreography that went into this.
Yeah. There's some numbers, exactly the big group numbers, where both of them are playing multiple characters on and off. So, you know,
yeah.
Keeping track of those hats must be insane work.
Well, I'm also pretty sure that there's sequences where someone's playing a character, they then take off that hat, hand it to someone, and the other person then plays that character straight after them.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
swapping, switching.
I did question that when I was listening to it. I'm like, wait, have we got the same guy playing the same? No.
Yeah.
We're swapping.
Everyone gets a crack at Helvetica.
Split down the middle.
Split down.
Julie!
I also learned that you can do a kick line without any people in it.
Yes.
Which for some shows might help a lot if they need more people in that kick line. Just throw a string on with their character names on it and see what happens. You're right, Julie.
Lost her.
Julie's gone.
She's one G&T down. And
I muted myself so I can cackle.
It's a shame we all missed it.
Any other lessons we've learned from a Gutenberg, the musical?
All of Germany apparently is covered in dirty thatch.
Thatch.
Mm. Yes. Yep.
And I put that theatre kids are the same world over.
Yeah. This is very true. It's very true. There is a version of the show on YouTube from the University of Michigan, I think it was, when they put the production on a couple of years ago. And that's it. It's just an audience full of theatre kids, acting students, musical theatre students, just cacking themselves the whole time because they relate to almost everything in the show. It's very good.
It is.
Any other lesson?
Oh, I have one more. Mm-hmm. You can still have a happy ending even if you kill off your protagonist.
Yeah.
This is true.
I think it's a device that more shows should use.
You had it here first, guys. Put it into your shows from now on. Oh, dear. Let's move on.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I don't want to jinx it by saying this might be the easiest dream cast we've ever had to cast with only 2 characters, ooh, but there are many a people who could play these roles. So who would we like to see as Bud and Doug / everybody else in the musical?
You can't ignore the obvious. I think James Corden would be great in this.
Zane's now left the meeting.
Didn't you do this last
recording? He's out. We've lost him. Bye, producer Zane. I think he is actually out. He's gone. Yeah. But seriously, who would we put in this show?
Weirdly enough,
you go.
I struggled because I just want to be in this show.
Yes.
Kieran and Kieran playing against himself.
Kieran playing Bud and Doug and everybody in the musical. Yeah. See how that goes. I didn't cast Zac Efron in this show, so
neither did I.
Oh,
I know. Sorry, Zach. I just want to see, and these are interchangeable. I don't mind who's who, but I put Neil Patrick Harris as Bud and Jason Segel as Doug.
Oh, interesting. I put Andrew Rannells on my list.
Andrew Rannells would be great.
I have Jonathan Groff and Andrew Rannells.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Young Robin Williams.
Can I throw out a...
And a not dead one.
Well, that's helpful, yes. I was about to make a joke in very bad taste, and I'm glad I didn't. Nathan Fillion and Alan Tudyk.
Great. Amazing. You could put... How many actors who are often paired together can you put into these roles? Other than Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick.
I put David Tennant and Michael Sheen.
Amazing.
Yes. That would be amazing. David Tennant and John Barrowman.
Also great. Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman. Let's just put them all in there.
Amy Poehler and Tina Fey.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes. They make great drunks.
Me and KB.
Yeah.
How do you think it would affect the show, if at all, having mixed cast, a male and a female, or two females doing the roles? Because some of the jokes are quite specifically about these guys playing female roles, and then their relationship as the writers is somewhat dependent on them.
Extra layer of meta where women playing men playing women. It's very Victor Victoria.
But also,
very
Shakespearean. Like, the same jokes can be made about women playing men. So it's just the kind
That's
of like
true.
Reverse of that. And I do admit that I watched it being like, if I was in this show, how would I change the dialogue? So it's all covered.
You've sorted it? Okay.
Yeah, I was like, that scene would be okay. I could do that and just say this instead. So. We're prepared in case it ever comes up.
Okay. Well, as long as you're prepared, that's all I was checking.
Yeah.
There's definitely been at least a mixed production because I saw reviews for it. They weren't kind, but I saw reviews for it.
I don't know if are there any nice reviews out there? That's the question I didn't ask before.
Who gives a scathing review to a community theatre production of a show? That's what this was. I was like, that is not right.
I've seen some.
Like critical, not scathing.
Some people, maybe they're just people who really want to do it themselves, and so they just need it. You know, I'm gonna leave it there. Any other dream cast?
No. I'm good.
No. What about Ian McKellen and
Patrick Stewart? I do want to see Ian McKellen look in the camera and go, "And I'm 34."
Yes. I think it'll be great.
Oh my god.
But it's like set in a nursing home where maybe there's a
geriatric going on.
Can we send this to them and seriously say, guys, just do this?
Yeah, Zane can tweak them for us.
They're not busy, they're not doing anything.
Zane's tweeting
not in lockdown,
it as we speak.
They're reading sonnets every day in lockdown. So if you want
that's been done.
Isn't he out of sonnets? Didn't he run out? He's finished.
Probably.
So this is what he has to do next. Get on it.
Okay.
Karen, you're in London. Fix this.
Pass it on.
All right.
Karen, go knock on their doors.
I'll throw stones at his windows.
Yes, do that.
Oh, let's move on to top five, guys. I did put this on top five historical fiction musicals and realized that I'm probably the only one.
I don't know. Doesn't Les Mis go on that list?
Historical fiction? Probably. Yeah. Does Hamilton go on that list?
Probably. What about top five ! In the title?
Yes.
Musicals.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a top five we have mentioned before.
I would say
this is a very good one.
It's number one with a double exclamation mark.
I mean, mm-hmm. Snoopy has 3 exclamation marks.
Yes, but it doesn't belong on the list.
I don't know. Is it? it is. And like Gutenberg's pretty great. Top five play within a play musical.
Oh yes.
Yeah, I made a list. There's so many.
There's a lot. Like,
yeah. What's my list?
Top five use like, of
Kiss
hats.
Kiss Me Kate, Producers, Summerstock, White Christmas, 42nd Street, Curtains, Title of Show. Miranda probably has got
Kiss Me Kate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't make the top five. I'm just gonna mumble away here to myself.
It's one of my top five musicals, so when whatever list it's on, it's gonna be in my top five.
Okay. Personal top five.
In my top five Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals.
Good and bad.
We just put it in every list ever that we've ever done. That'll be a bonus episode, guys. Us putting Gutenberg the musical into every top five list we've ever mentioned on the show.
Julie mentioned top five hat. Yes, can we fill out that list?
What is kick line?
So fill out the list of top five use of hats.
Yes.
Sunday in the Park with George.
Oh, yes. Great.
Producers.
Producers.
Oh, My Fair Lady.
My Fair Lady has great hats.
Yeah,
excuse me. I can fill out a list.
Hats?
So many hats, the musical.
No, cats. The cats, are they wearing hats?
No. Or are they, it's not a Dr. Seuss show.
I want to write the parody version of Cats called Hats the Musical. So wait for that, guys.
Producer Zane says Hats the Musical already exists.
Of course it does.
Oh. We'll have to look that up. So next week on the show, we'll be covering Hats the Musical. Maybe Karen can bring us that one next.
I did put top five two-hander musicals, but I don't know if there are.
There aren't too many.
That only have two people in them.
Well, then it'll be in the top five, won't it?
Other than like Daddy Longleg, Last 5 Years.
Ooh.
Gutenberg.
Three. Yeah.
There's three.
There's three.
Maybe there's others. Guys, audience listening, I'm sure you know more than we do. So please tell us how many other two-hander musicals there are out there. Top fives. Any other top five?
Top five.
Inspirational musicals.
Nice.
Top five most expensive sets. Like if you get a really good table to put the hats
you
on.
You could. Sometimes cardboard boxes are really expensive too. So if you're using many of those, then...
Obviously, that was a sarcastic choice and it's actually top five simplest sets. Cheap shows to put on. Low budget.
Yeah.
Top five.
Yeah. And in state of theatre that we're currently in, probably a good one to produce, guys.
Oh, you could totally produce this virtually and it wouldn't affect it at all.
You could do a version.
We can try.
We could do a Zoom version. Karen, you finally get to do it. Oh, you can play both the roles. Just pre-record one of them. Could you imagine?
And then like green screen into his. So it's like...
Give myself the oaken beard to play the other one.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah. It's all sorted, guys. Keep track of our socials to find out where you can get tickets.
You know where to put our Patreon funds now.
For me, in the top five villains for Monk, I really rate him as a villain. I think he's incredible.
Very good. He's kind of on par with the Toxic Avenger villain for me. Like, the style of their songs, the character, it's all very similar. So I do enjoy
just self-aware evil, just being evil, having a great time with the inexplicable magic powers.
Doesn't he literally say, I'm evil?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or then top five stupid for stupid's sake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Aren't they all Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals?
Okay.
They're stupid for stupid's sake.
That's stupid for money's sake.
Oh, right. Different
burgers, definitely.
Any other top five, guys? No.
Top five duets, as in every song ever in the show.
And that's the one we'll finish on. Guys.
Miranda should list some duets, Miranda.
No, don't do that.
And welcome to our 500-hour episode of Everything I Know. Good. Well, we are at the end of our episode on Gutenberg, the musical. Guys, it's a funny world. And yes, Kieran is in London, but there are things that you can listen to that he is a part of, that he writes, produces, stars in.
Yeah.
Edits. All. He's the everything. He does play every role. And it is called...
The Penny Peep Show.
And it is a...
podcast.
Yeah, good one. I'm glad that
we get this. Is this a trick question?
Look at this back and forth. Where can we find it?
Wherever good podcasts are stock. It should be on every app. Just look up Penny Peep Show. Pick something that has episode one next to it, because they're all little series. And just go for it and let us know what you think.
Very nice.
We're about to start one. A new series will start in a fortnight, written by a different writer. I am not the only writer.
Yeah.
What? Is that even allowed?
Scandalous.
It is. It's right. Check it out.
Guys, you get all of the top information here on Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know, but definitely go and check out Karen's podcast. And that's it from us for another week, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. Julie, thank you for being here.
You know what? Not a problem.
We found a musical that you enjoy.
I know. I'm so excited.
The Gin and Tonic was warranted. So well done. Good job. Miranda,
yes.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, it was absolutely my pleasure. And it was lovely to see Karen again.
It is. Oh, yeah. It's very nice to see you, Karen.
It's always a delight to be here and see all of you.
Yay. Aww. Thank you so much for joining us with the time difference in London. We've popped you up. We've gotten you up early.
No, it's beautiful. Talking had about breakfast. Musical. It's lovely.
Thank you so much. And I'm sure we'll see you again soon, because this is a
please
of guesting on musicals, you know. What show will you
happy
bring
to come
us
back
next?
Hats. Happy to come back April 1st and talk about Cats.
No, we've already done it. It's too late.
Was that Hats? I heard Hats.
Hats. Yep.
Hats. The musical. Guys, you wait for that very special April Fool's Day episode here on Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know. That's it from me. We will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Hello and welcome to an advertisement for the Penny Peep Show. What is the Penny Peep Show? Well, in our podcast factory, our podcast scientists have been working hard on a range of light-hearted radio play anthology series that everyone can enjoy.
Criminy Cricket, spokesperson! Is there a light-hearted radio play anthology series for me?
No, every series is marked explicit. But why not tell your parents, nameless child? They'll find the Penny Peep Show wherever good podcasts are stocked. The Penny Peep Show. It's like dissolving your ears in a cocaine-laden off-brand soda.
Is that a good thing?
Shut up, nameless child.